Good afternoon, everyone. It's Joe. Hope everybody is doing well on this beautiful Thursday afternoon. It's Chamber of Commerce weather here in South Florida, so we're thankful for that. Matt, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Enjoying the nice, beautiful weather out here in Denver for a change. So.
Good. Excellent. Well, spring's upon us, man. All right. So we've got some great questions today, everyone. And you know, listen, this is your call. Let's make sure that if you've got some questions, let's, you know, we can certainly raise our hands and we'll get you on live, and or you can type those questions in. We're going to have some time at the end of the call, maybe, for just kind of some open questions. But we've got three good questions, good case studies to go through here today. And Ken, the first one here, he's not going to be able to make it on the call because he had to work, unfortunately. So Matt and I are going to talk through this one, and it's a great question for everybody. So I think it'll be a great learning process. So Matt, it looks like what Ken is doing here is he wants to, he's buying a note, and I'm assuming he is buying it from Colonial, and then he wants to sell either a full or a partial to an investor. And his questions are, and I know you've talked to him, so you've got some more questions there. But he says, can I show the BPO and the terms of the note on my spreadsheet? Said Eddie had talked about it about a week ago and wanted to make sure what's understandable or what's acceptable and what's off limits. So, Matt, I know you talked to Ken, so what was his major concerns here as far as how to handle his investor with this note?
Well, kind of the backstory on this is that this investor that he met was at kind of an entity creation workshop that he had. The investor he's meeting with today, but the guy who he is his primary investor that he's courting, I guess would be one way to say it.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, he is an ex-CPA or his former CPA, so he used to do his taxes and you know some financial stuff for him. So This investor is a bit seasoned on you know notes, and because the investor also has several people who he does taxes for who might want to do notes in their portfolio. So It's kind of like a reach. It's not just for this guy. He's kind of you know, he's going to do it for him, and if it works for him, then he might be able to reach out to some of his clientele. Is what he's thinking.
Good. So this is kind of the test case, and so he's cultivating relationship, which is great. You know, if you've got somebody with multiple that has clients like that, that's certainly a good thing to have. So let's kind of talk through this. First of all, you need to have your investor go ahead and sign a non-disclosure agreement and make sure you get that into place. And that should make, since he is a professional in the accounting field or a CPA, he can appreciate that. So that should never be a problem. That's going to protect. And I just explained to them what the NDA is all about. You know, you don't want to disclose this information. This is personal financial information. You can show this to any potential investors, but it's not to be blasted out on the internet. Had a guy yesterday, was talking to him. He's working on an $8.5 million commercial deal, and he sent this over to an investor who this investor was a principal with his money, and you know didn't go out and didn't do all that. Well, 3 days later, he finds out he's blasted the thing all over the internet. And, of course, you know, the guy that I was talking to could have done that. So just want to explain that to your borrower. So there's two ways that if he's buying a full and then selling a full, obviously if he's buying it at 12 or 13% return from Colonial or 14 and selling it at an 8 or a 9 or whatever it is, he's going to make a spread between the two of those. Okay, if he's buying a partial, certainly he is buying a full. And then I know that we mentioned before the call, or you mentioned, Matt, that he wanted to sell a partial for enough money to to get his investment back on the full, put a couple of $1,000s in his pocket, and then own the back end of that. So then how do we present what we have to an investor like that? And I know a lot of people get a bit freaked out that, oh, what if we show them too much? What if it's, you know, what if they steal the deal or they just don't understand it or whatever that means? So guys, we're not really concerned about that, because again, your investor really needs to look at the BPO, broker price opinion. So what's the house worth? What's the property worth? And then showing them the terms of the loan, and showing them a copy of the note, and showing them the title search, and all of those different things is totally proper on these transactions. Now, you're not going to be showing them what you're buying it for, and let's face it, they know you're making a profit anyway. So what difference does it make? And profit is not a bad thing, but we can show them all of those details. Let's say that there's 222 payments left and the payment's $300 a month and it's the balance is $22,000. We just used a bunch of twos. So we're showing that to the buyer on this partial, or even the buyer if you were just selling a full and taking a spread there. So we need to show them all of that documentation, show that they can understand what the loan looks like. So we're going to show them everything that we can on the loan, with the exception of what we're paying it for. The fact that if we're buying that loan for $16,000 at a 14% yield, and we're going to sell it to them at an 8% return, and that number is $20,000, so we're going to make $4,000 for flipping the full over to them. Or if we're selling the partial for more than enough to pay back, to get our investment back, plus put some money in our pocket, plus on the back end of the payments, that's not even an issue. Now, the other thing is, Matt, is we can certainly show them the AM schedule as well. I mean, you know, this guy's certainly smart enough to run an AM schedule on the balance of the loan, so we can show them the AM schedule. And if we're selling a partial, we need to show them the entitlement schedule as well. So, Mr. CPA, you're buying 90 payments. So here's what this looks like. Here's the way this is going to AM out over the next 222 months, and here are the 90 payments you're buying. So here's your payment one, payment two, so that you can look at this schedule anytime during the period of time that you own this loan, and you would know exactly what the payoff on this would be if the borrower were to pay it off, refinance it and pay it off, or sell it or whatever. They would know where they're at any point in time. And the other part of that is they would know, if the borrower defaulted, then they would know what they're still owed as well. So does that kind of answer some of the questions you know that he had, Matt, when you were talking to Ken?
Yes, and I think he pointed out to me that what he ended up doing was taking the spreadsheet or the tape that we provided, because this is two of these assets that he's looking at are on that tape that's out there. And he basically just took the tape we had and pasted it into a spreadsheet of his own. And
okay.
Just kind of wanting to make sure also, you know, because I know Mr. Speed had talked about, you know, at some point, do not send stuff to somebody who you don't know or trust, kind of thing. And
he's
just kind of, at which you've kind of touched on. But he's just wanting to make sure, number one, if that is acceptable, and number two, is that the best way of presenting that to his investor?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that is the best way. You can look at it on our side of the business that we're proposing to send it to an investor, and do we trust them? And if you were buying that, if you were on the other side, what would you want to see before you wrote a check? And so it's nothing different than if Colonial is buying a note from, you've got a note you want to sell to Colonial, Matt. So we're going to price that note based on just that information on an information questionnaire, which would show the address of the property and the sale price and sale date and current balance and interest rate and all of that. And then we're going to quote based on those numbers. And if they like the numbers, then the next thing we're going to ask the seller to send us is going to be the the copy of the all of the paperwork, the mortgage, the note, the title policy, the insurance, all of that stuff. And that's so that's no different that and if you were selling a note to Colonial, Colonial would need all of that information to complete their due diligence. And so if you're selling a buying a note from Colonial and selling it to another individual, they're going to want the same thing that you have. But and again, they're never going to know. They don't know what you're paying for it. They know that you're making money on it, which is not a bad thing, but you don't have to worry about that. You can show them the terms and you know the entitlement schedule if you're selling a partial and all of those things. So all of that is fine as long as you know they've signed an NDA and they're a buyer. And let's face it, you're not gonna be selling to somebody most likely that you've never met. You're not going to be, you know, soliciting investors usually on the telephone. I mean, this is somebody that you're going to have met at a real estate investors association or some kind of local real estate meetup, or like this gentleman, like Ken is doing with his attorney or with CPA, or if you're meeting with an attorney or you know anybody in your somebody in your circle of influence. So you're going to sit down with them. They're going to understand and know that you'll have an idea of whether they're serious or not.
Would it be good for him to just give the terms of the loan first, or would it be good for him to do what a full purchase price for that investor would be and a partial purchase price on that spreadsheet that he hands him, or should he wait for that?
Well, yeah, and you know, so and let's take this back. So, Matt, you're trying to sell a loan to Colonial. So, when Colonial prices that loan, we're typically going to price a full purchase, and we're going. So, when I send out a quote on something like this, it's going to say your full purchase quote is $21,000, or we'll purchase the next 60 payments for $9,000, or the next 120 payments. We'll typically, you know, I've always given two or three options, at least three options, a full and two partials. And so that's the way that you should show it to your investor as well. So here's a couple of things. I can sell you this entire loan, and you're going to make whatever it is. You know, this is what you're buying it for. This will be your return. And or if you're buying a partial, then you can buy 60 payments, you can buy 90 payments, you can buy 120 payments on this particular loan. So giving them a menu or a number of options is always preferable when you're looking at doing something like that. But you know, the other thing that we've got to make sure that we all do when we're working with investors and cultivating those investors is we've got to qualify them prior to doing business with them. So we've got to know what their risk tolerance is. We've got to know what kind of money they have to invest. Is it $30,000? Is it 80? Is it 100? What's their window as far as how long do you want to have this money deployed? What kind of rates of returns are you looking for? And if we know those types of things, we know what to go out and we know which loans to look at on the Colonial on the Colonial tapes. So we need to look at loans that are in this price category in this particular rate of return. And you know, that's what I've always done when I'm negotiating, when I'm trying to buy a loan from an individual. You know, one of the first things that I'll ask them is, you know, what are your expectations? What do you think your note's worth? And if it's a $38,000 balance and they say they want $38,000 for it, well, I know that I've got a lot of work to do as far as you know, working with the pricing on that, and I've got to build a lot of value into that. If the balance is 38, and they said, "Well, you know, I won't take a penny less than 26." Well, you know that, you know, they know the game. They know the game. So it's all in setting it up and knowing what your investor, having a good idea, and then you can take something to them that would work for them, versus you know, just shotgunning it out there and say, well, here's what I have right now, and I don't know what you're looking for, and I don't know how much money you have. Well, you know, it's just your pre-qualifying. If you're a realtor, before you take somebody out and show them houses, you're going to see what they're looking for, what they can afford, and that type of thing before you load them up in the Escalade and take them out and show them properties.
Perfect. Yeah, I talked to Ken and I said, you know, I put him on the front so he knows exactly where his content is. But If you had any further questions, we'll put it on another call. But that's pretty much, I think, where he was wanting to go with this question. So.
Hey, we've got a couple of questions here, so let's go ahead and take care of those before we move to the next one. And if there's any questions on this particular topic, we can answer those as well. Barb says, okay, so when I look at the FCI's partial calculator and compare it to the calculator, our calculator, the one with the triple options based on terms, BALA, bought or balance bought, or rate, they don't match up exactly. Can you tell me why? I have not looked at FCI's partial calculator, so I can't tell you why they don't match up. Matt, I don't know how, without looking at the way FCI's calculator works, partial calculator works, I have no idea unless you've dealt with it in some of the stuff you've been doing.
No, and I mean, I do know that, FCI doesn't share with us how they calculate along. So I know
Right.
McKinstry has done this and has worked hard on making our calculators accurate. So like I said, I'm not sure. I would say I don't know how they're, what their calculations are because they don't share those with us because it's
Yeah.
proprietary. So.
So Barb, don't want to tell you don't know why, but we don't know why. Okay. I mean, you can certainly do the same thing on your HP 10B or your HP 12C if you want to verify what the numbers are on either the Note School calculator or FCI's calculator. You put the numbers in your 10B or 12C, and you can certainly come up with the numbers as well. Tim Glass says, how long after a tape has been posted by Colonial do they make the due diligence files available on Dropbox Note that we have purchased? After they have been removed, does post-closing still have this information? Okay. I see where you went ahead and typed that in, Matt. So the question was, after they have been removed, does post-closing still have the docs? And Matt, I know you typed that in, but if you want to share that answer with everybody.
Yeah, and that depends. If it's a third-party asset that we are selling for another group, which we will indicate on the offer saying this is a third party from Rock Top or Granite, in that case, we have the links. Generally, the previous system, we have had the links until they take them down. Once we purchase the assets, we have the full control of the due diligence links and so on and so forth, and we can provide those. So that kind of goes to the point of if we own an asset and you're buying it directly from us, if you need any documents, we should be able to provide those for you because we have saved them on our system and in our Dropbox folders. So I know there's a couple of assets or a couple of portfolios that were sold third party. I think January and December, maybe of last year, or November of last year. I'm not sure, but there were a couple of them. Those links, if they are no longer active, let us know. We'll try to reach back out to the seller to see if they still have those links or if they deleted them. They should have them. But if it's a third party and they've taken the links down, we have to reach out and it's at their discretion of whether, when we can get it back. But if we own it, yes, we will still have them, and we should be able to send you out the documents you need.
Very
Was
good.
that
That should be no, that's great. Perfect, Matt. All right, well, let's scroll on down and see what Mr. Eric has to say here. And I believe Eric's on the phone.
I am on the phone. Can you hear me?
Sure can, Eric. Hear you perfectly, my friend. How's it going?
Very good. How are you guys?
Excellent. You're a busy guy.
I guess I am. This is fun. It's a lot of fun, though. I love it.
We were just sharing some, I was looking to see who was buying multiple notes, and you've been a busy guy the last couple of months, so
Yeah.
congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks. It's been a big learning curve, but I'm one of those guys. It's hard for me to learn it unless I just jump in and do it, because
Right.
I learn when I'm doing things. I can read and all that stuff, but it just doesn't really sink in, and you don't feel it until you do it. So,
Exactly. And I know that I talked with Matt and I had talked before, and you've got some great questions here, but I think that you had gotten an answer from the city before the call. So
yeah,
we just thought it was a great teaching, you know, opportunity for everybody on the call today. Certainly this isn't the first note that this has happened on. So kind of give us a briefing on what's going on. I mean, as far as what was there, and I know we can read it on there, but if you want to kind of explain what you saw and then what you found out, that would be great.
I'll do that. I still have questions, so I'm glad that Matt brought this up for the webinar. So I bought this note, and it is in Jacksonville, Florida. The pay history looked good. It was a performing note. The BPO looked pretty good. It didn't say it was boarded up or anything, and it came in with a value of, what, 52 or 53,000, something like that. But it had a pile of nuisance liens on that, which were essentially, from what I understand, liens that came on from the city and Stonecrest didn't do anything about them. They had a court case and they got filed permanently on the property as a judgment and lien. So they total right now $6,500 or something around that number, but they're continuing. So I guess I really didn't know, you know, the note was pretty cheap. So I thought, well, there's equity there. There could be some various strategies, some exit strategies.
Yeah. And just to make a comment here for those that are, what happens is when a house falls into disrepair, whether it's occupied or not occupied, vacant, the city, and it really depends on where it's located. For instance, in the little town that I live in, Okeechobee here, code enforcement is complaint driven. So if a code enforcement agent drives by a property that looks like crap and to get to a property that somebody has complained on or complained about to the code enforcement division, they will drive right by that property that looks much worse than the one that has been that they've heard got the complaints on. So it really depends on, is it code enforcement driven or is it complaint driven? And then these things could have been from broken windows, junk in the yard, the grass not being mowed, weeds growing up, you know, that kind of thing. So just to kind of explain what those nuisance liens and fines are, and that's kind of what these were, weren't they, Eric?
Yeah, so it was pretty much lawn mowing. And so yesterday I called the city and I talked to the code enforcement officer that's in charge of neighborhoods, and he knows that property. He knew all about it. So turns out that it is vacant. There's been no electrical service for over a year, and the guy doesn't mow the lawn, but he continues to make his monthly payment pretty consistently. In fact, he's making more of a monthly payment than the note says, because I think the previous servicer maybe had a conversation with him, and he really wants to evidently keep the property, which blows my mind, because there's about a $1,600 a year lawn mowing and brush cutting thing. And just recently the city condemned the property because they have some new ordinance that says if it's vacant or if there's no electrical service, that they have the right to go in there and flag it, which they did. Also, the roof is in pretty poor condition, evidently to the city, and there may be some boards on the window, something like that, a couch in the yard and the tire. So so the guy's paying his note and he's not doing anything. He must have some type of plan for the property. His UPB is 14,000 and some change.
Right.
So I called Charles and said, Charles, what should I do here? Charles was the one that informed me that Peak, the servicer, had been talking with him in the past few months, this past winter. So, and Charles had on file the borrower's work number and cell phone number. So the note is still being boarded over at Peak. And so I just sent an email off a couple of days ago, waiting to hear back from them. I just want a couple things. I have a couple different maybe exit strategies and a couple questions on the words that I should use. If I should I call the guy myself? Should I wait for Peak to do something first? Should I do nothing and just continue to collect the $400 every month? But you know,
well,
the $1,600.
I mean, whether it's you or whether it's your officer, probably your servicer is going to be the best way to take care of this. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of matter of fact. I know you would like to talk to them because you would like to find out in, you know, their own words, and, you know, just like you and I are talking here. So what are your plans? And mm-hmm. I get that, but if you're, you know, going to pay a servicer, you should probably let them do their job.
Sure.
But I would, you know, it needs to be done. You know, within, as soon as you get it boarded, they need to be, you know, making contact with mm-hmm. with this particular borrower, because if it has, you know, if it, and I think the city can confirm for you that it has been condemned. So mm-hmm. at some point in time, they would go in, the city would go in and probably demolish that.
Yeah.
And
so I
add that on as well. So
right.
It really depends. So you've got the BPO says it's 53. How old is that BPO?
Last, I got it up here, last fall something.
Oh, so within the last 6 months or so.
Yeah. Yep. In November.
Yeah. So this and it, and what do the pictures reflect? Do they reflect this, you know, like you said, the tire in the yard and the couch and some boarded up and stuff like that?
No, because that stuff may have happened after the BPO. And I think when my guess is the city had just done the mowing and the brush trimming, and then the BPO happened like the next day, and the guy drove by, oh, this is all good. This is occupied.
Right.
The lawn's mowed. It looks good. And then after the BPO, of course, the junk showed up in the yard. I think sometimes in vacant houses, junk shows up in yards from
sure, yeah, absolutely.
Are too lazy to go drive to the landfill. So that's where the junk's coming from. And so that's, I think, what happened.
Right. So, and you've got some pictures here, it looks like. You want to blow those up, Matt? Yeah, Ruth looks a little iffy on that.
Yeah.
Hey, doing the call. Can I call you back?
So
yeah, so I mean what is it? I can't tell from where I am. What is it, CBS Construction or is it Frame Construction?
You know what? I do not know.
Okay. Anyway, so the borrower, he is making the payments and he's pretty much making them on time. He hasn't missed any. So
he's like anybody in this lower price bracket. It's not perfect, but
an on-time payment to me in this space is if the payment's due on the first and they make it before the next payment's due, that's on time.
Right.
So, you know, as long as they pay them within that 30-day period.
Yeah.
So, you know, you could have someone go in and, well, you can't right now because obviously it's conforming or a performing loan. Looks like there's newer windows in it from that shot. Looks like yeah. So anyway, I would have the servicer get a hold of that get a hold of the borrower as soon as possible, and just let them know that you know these fines are. Does the borrower, by the way, did Charles say the borrower, do they live? Does the borrower live in Jacksonville?
I don't know the answer to that. He has a Jacksonville phone number. That helps.
Okay, well then it's probably there if that phone number is still good. So I would go ahead and have your servicer contact them. If it's going to be a week or so before they are able to do so, you could certainly call and you know talk to this fellow and see what it is. But he needs to understand that it, you know, has been condemned. You know, there's these fines that are gathering up on it.
Yeah.
And just, you know, what would he really like to do on this? If you've got $14,000-$15,000 in it, and you did get it back and it was, you know, $20,000 in repairs, you'd still be very good on this. So
yeah, I would If I did, this is what I think's going to happen. I think he's going to quit paying at some point. Because yeah. He hasn't been actively doing anything for such a long period of time. When's he going to change? He hasn't mowed the lawn since, well, whenever this first judgment came, well, right after he bought it. So he has never mowed the lawn. He's not motivated enough to walk over to the neighbor kid's house and say, hey, I'll give you $20 to mow the lawn every year.
What is his unpaid balance on this?
14,000 something.
14,000 and basically yeah. What do you have in it?
I have $7,300 into it.
Yeah. So you're good. Yeah, I mean,
he might not know the BPO is 53,000 because he didn't pay that much from Stonecrest when he bought it. Right. So I think I could pull that up. I think he paid 19,000 or something crazy like that.
Right. And you know what? He probably bought this probably went to a real estate investors club meeting and got fired up and bought the first thing that he came across and okay. just got busy and never did anything with it. And you don't know, he may pay the payments for the next 12 months and then default or then stop making them. But you don't right. want to go that far down the road on this. You want to get some resolution pretty quick. So it may be that you give him some cash for keys. I know that he's performing, but he may just want to walk out of the thing and be done with it. And if right. he puts some money back in his pocket, because I'd let him know that whatever it is, these fees are adding up on it. And they're going to continue to do so, and the outcome could be that when the city's in the area and they're tearing down other properties in the area, since this has been condemned and it's still sitting, that they're just going to take a track hoe about 20 minutes to tear that thing down and load it up on a dump truck and it's gone.
Yeah, in speaking with the city guy, that's not what their plan is, but this is a rolling thing, about $1,600 a year. But I'm kind of in a sticky situation because I can't foreclose on him or do anything as long as he's doing this. But meanwhile, my investment to value ratio is getting messed up because every $1,600 a year, I wish that wouldn't happen,
Well, you've got, you'll have 15 in it, by the end of the year. So with the 6,500 plus the other. So I would have a talk with him sooner rather than later and find out what his intent is on this. And if you feel comfortable talking to them, then, and I'm sure you do. I mean, it's not a big deal. Eddie would probably say have the servicer talk to them, but up to you, whatever you feel like doing, if you feel comfortable doing it, and certainly there needs to be something done on this, Eric, I'd probably just go ahead and make the call.
Okay. Sounds like a plan.
Okay. But don't hold yourself out. You've got a company name, so hold yourself out. I'm with so-and-so and my company, we've bought your loan that type.
Yep. Very good.
All right.
Okay.
Well, let us know. Let us know on a subsequent call. Let us know what happens on this.
Yeah, I'll do that. I'll keep you posted. Thanks so much, guys.
Perfect. Thanks. Okay.
You bet. Thanks.
Uh huh. Let's see. We've got some questions here. Let's see. Let me go back up here, Matt. Probably having to do with this.
Yes.
Let's see. Michael says, if the note was modified, how essential is it to have the modification agreement and the new up-to-date security agreement? I'm sure that's in the file, Michael, from where where the current property owner has it. It probably wasn't modified. He probably bought this, the current borrower, and it wasn't a modified loan. And that's what it sounds like. Is Eric still on the unmuted there, Matt?
I took my headset off 1 second. Can you hear me?
So Eric, did the current borrower on this, how long has he owned it?
I would say a couple of years.
Years. Yeah. And this wasn't a modified loan. This was a loan that he bought and financed with one of the companies. Yeah. Right?
Yep. Yeah, so it is an REO that Stonecrest got, and they sold it seller financing.
Right, exactly. So that's exactly what they did on this one. Okay, that's what I thought. So there wasn't a modification. It was just simply a new loan that that Stonecrest did. Okay, yeah. Very good.
Okay, thanks.
Barb says we have a first. We have a first that code enforcement is scheduled to rip it down on 5/5. The house isn't worth putting more money into it when you consider the taxes due, everything else other than taking a direct hit loss. Any suggestions? It's been vacant for quite a while, years. You know, Barb, it's in order for the local, you know, the municipality not to tear it down, there's going to have to be some action taken. Do you own the, I'm assuming you own the property now. You're not the lender, so you would have to go in and remedy the challenges that are with this house. And the question is that what you want to do, or is you know, do you want to put more money into it? And I know that's what you're saying here. Or do you just either A, once the house is taken out, either sell the lot or donate it and take a tax write-off on it. I know that's not the best of situations, but so it could be. Just depends on if you own the property or you're still the lender on this. So maybe you can let us know on that. Roman says, does condemnation lose the occupancy permit? Yes, typically it does. The certificate of occupancy should be revoked at that time, and it would not be able to be legally occupied. That's the way it is in most places. And in Cleveland, I would certainly say that's the way it is, Roman. And we need to unmute Roman anyway, because next question is his. So, and Mike, it's a performing loan. As Eric was saying, the borrower's making the payment on it every month, even though the place is just, you know, there's nothing there and nothing's been done to it. Robin says, so if the borrower is paying, when will Eric get his note purchase back? Well, the borrower's paying $400 a month, and he's got $7,000, $7,500 in the loan. So Matt answered that and did the math, and it's about 18 months. George says, "Do you know? Did he know before he bought the note?" No, I think when Eric was making the giving the brief on this was that it seemed that the BPO that was done during the fall. Indicated that it looked like the yard had just been mowed, or the city had just been mowed the yard, and there wasn't any debris, and it looked like it could have been occupied. So no, he did not. Mr. LeCount says, are the taxes current on this property? And I don't know. Certainly Eric can type in and let us know that if they are or aren't. But I'm assuming if he's making the monthly payments, they're probably being escrowed since Stonecrest financed this for the borrower. So I'm sure the taxes are current on this. Florida is a tax lien state, so there would be a tax certificate sold for 2 years. And then after the third year, the state would come in to foreclose on the property or to auction the property at public auction. Gail says, so what's the resolution? Pay the liens, but the property that buy the property, then sell? Gail, Eric is going to have to work this out with the current borrower and let him know that, you know, these things are stacking up. He should know it. Again, he may have been a total neophyte and brand new investor when this borrower bought this, and he was going to do something with it as far as he was going to fix it up, and his life changed, or it was a little harder than he thought it was, and he's still making the payments. He just doesn't know what to do with it. So it's a performing loan right now. Eric's concern is the when this does go bad, how much of the code enforcement liens, how much will they be at that point? So they're stacking up at about $1,600 a year. Currently it's about $6,500 or something like that, or what those look like. So can't Eric force the borrower to maintain the asset? A bank would certainly have the right to protect their securitized asset. And, you know, they could. If the house is unoccupied, and you do have the right to protect your collateral. So, you know, that's the, but the first conversation is, what are the intentions of this borrower? What are they going to do with it? And again, guys, remember that it is a, that it is a performing loan, borrower's making their payments. Could you offer him a short payoff, Bollinger, says if UPB is 14 and you have 7 in it, let him give you, give him 7 with his taking responsibility for the liens. Also, show him the BPO. Don't show him the BPO. Show him the BPO at $53,000, I think is what you mean there, Bob. And that's certainly another possibility. But again, it's working it out. In general, yeah, I mean, literally, they, you do have the right to protect your asset. But again, you're not, the banks really aren't, they're not going to go in and fix this house up for this borrower. So it's just, well, we've seen what happens with banks owning these non-performing, you know, with non-performing assets. They let them sit and sit and sit. They don't want to own the property because they don't want to deal with it. Joe says, also possibly look into forced place insurance. Joe, again, I'm assuming that when Stonecrest sold this property and financed it, they would have escrowed taxes and insurance on that. Just a note, is it scheduled to foreclose? Oh, this is borrower. So Barb is saying that she owns the note, not the property. It's scheduled for foreclosure tomorrow, but we will stop that. So, yeah, Barb, it's, yeah, it depends on what the house is going to sell for at foreclosure auction. You've got, I guess we would need to know what you, what Barb has in it to talk about it. So why don't we go ahead and deal with Roman's question, and then we'll get Barb on and we'll talk a little bit about this one with Barb at the end of the call.
Joe, can you hear me?
I can hear you, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I just got interrupted while you were talking by somebody calling back on my mail campaign, so I missed you there for a second. But
no worries.
This is I'm trying to wrap my head around this thing about what he's trying to. I'm sorry. I'm trying to.
Matt, just go ahead and take the screen back.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to. I don't want everybody seeing my too busy desktop here. Yeah, so just go ahead and put Roman's question back up there. I don't think we'll need to do what I was going to do there. So go ahead, Roman. Sorry.
Okay. So this is a deal that's in the process of being put together by an associate of mine. And he approached me about what's the possibility of selling this second position lien, a second position note after some seasoning. And right. So I got a little details on it. So just let me go this real quick. It's a 16-unit apartment building, and he's selling it for $600,000. Basic breakdown is that they're all 3-1 townhouses. Down payment of $200K. The first lien through a commercial lender would be $325, and he would create a second note for $75K that he would hold as interest only at 7% with a 5-year balloon.
Okay. So this would be an interest-only monthly payment?
Correct. Okay. So at the bottom of this, he's saying the interest-only payment is $437.50. And so obviously that's not going to change because it is interest-only.
Right.
So to get a 14% yield, I calculated a sale price of basically 50%, $37.5. But I know from listening to, you know, just doing the training that second position notes command less money.
Yes.
So
okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about this just a second, so that everybody on the line gets it. So we've got now these apartments are they're being rehabbed now, so it's totally vacant.
Some are occupied.
Some are occupied. Okay. And I'm assuming that it's in a decent area.
It's on the border of a one-gun neighborhood.
A what? How many gun?
One.
Okay, so you and I drive through this neighborhood when I was up there with you?
Oh, we drove through similar neighborhoods.
Okay, well, I didn't feel really bad in any. I didn't feel like we were going to get shot, Roman, when we went through some of those.
No, this is at West 89th Street. and there is a problem neighborhood at West 80th Street.
Okay.
So it's not, it's on the border of a one gun neighborhood.
Gotcha. Okay. So here's the way an investor like Colonial would look at this. You've got a 600,000, and he's saying that he knows that he's going to have to season it and get the the apartments rented, the rehab finished, and the rehab finished, and get these units occupied. So that should be a piece of the a piece of that, this borrower being able to buy this, okay, or him financing, and the lender probably is going to go that way as well. So,
you mean a balloon?
What's that?
You mean a balloon?
No, not the balloon. I'm talking about the commercial, the lender that's loaning on the, that's doing the first lien of $325,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that this is a local lender that's going to do a loan for this guy of 325 with 200,000 down.
Yes.
Okay. So even though, Roman, you're still as a, if you buy this second position loan, you're still behind a $325,000 first position loan. Now, if you look at the combined loan to value, which would be the 325 and the 720 and the 75, you're looking at 400,000. So what is your investment, the total investment to value or loan to investment to value on this would be about what, 60%. So there'd be 33% equity and 66% in liens on this property. So yes. If you were to take this back, you would have $400,000. You'd have to come up with the, you know, take care of the first. So you'd have 400,000, well, between the two loans, and the property's worth six. So I can tell you that there probably isn't a national funding source that would be interested in purchasing that second. Now, on the other side of that, there probably is a local investor that would be interested in purchasing something like that. So what, you know, what the way to sell that obviously to a local investor is that, look, you're going to have, and by the way, have you talked to this guy that's structuring this loan to tell him if he sells that that loan that what it's really worth in the marketplace? And you were right on, you were spot on there. At about 50% of value.
I did. As a matter of fact, I spoke to him this morning about it because I needed to see what he had discussed with the buyer as far as a percentage rate on the second mortgage.
Right.
And he had mentioned, and that's why I concluded the 8 and 9 calculations, because I wasn't sure what he had offered, but it did turn out that it was 7.
Okay. Well, and again, it would be better if it were a little bit higher, if it were a 10% rate or something like that. But even at 7 or 8, you may have a local investor, Roman, that will buy that for 10 or 12.
But so, and I'm, for, and so 10 or 12 yield. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So if you created this, it's worth 37.5. Well, you know, what's it worth if you sold it at a 10 yield? And what you would do is, since you know the borrower is willing to go at 37.5 on this, if you sold it at a 10 yield, what would it be worth? Would it be worth $45,000? I haven't done the calculation on it.
Well, the 10 yield would be $43,750.
So there'd be about $5,000 or so in between those two for you.
Yeah. Well, to that end, and this might be a question born out of ignorance, which it is. But anyways, when I come across a seller note that's performing at some ridiculously low interest rate.
Right.
Like I come across one recently that was literally, once you did the drill down, it was 1.25%.
Yeah.
So when you, and he's in it, he's got a small wrap on it and so on and so forth, but you know, the payments, does something like that worth even working up a price from the standpoint, if you buy the payment, and it covers his rep. I know I'm being ambiguous. Maybe I should write it up and present it on a
just ask it. Yeah.
But I mean, if you're just going to buy the payment, if the guy's making a payment of $900 a month, which is including his taxes and his insurance, I mean, at that point, you look at it kind of like a loaded rental almost.
Yep, you are.
And you could then consider just buying the payment based on, because he's never going to refinance at 1.25%. That doesn't even come into question. But the payment itself has some value. So, you know, like this particular, just to run over some real general numbers, sale price of $140,000, $5,000 down, mortgage was 135% at 1.25% interest rate, because that's what $900 in my payment worked out to be.
So they picked a payment. I can afford $900, so we're going to pay $900, and that's what it is, and whatever it worked out to be. In that case, it worked out to be 1.25%, right?
Right. So isn't that worth $45,000?
Sure it is. Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
There's always some value there in the cash flow. Absolutely.
Is this now, what he wants to do.
Yeah. Now, Michael Rowland says he's certainly interested in that at 37.5, and he's got his phone number here. If you wanna talk to him about it.
Yeah, sure. I'm meeting with that guy tomorrow.
So Matt, you wanna just forward Roman's Michael's phone number and name and phone number to Roman there on the screen there, and that'd be perfect. So yeah, I mean, as long as what you've got here, and Roman, I mean, it doesn't mean that you know, he may go at an 8, you know, if he goes to an 8 or a 9%. So if you've got $75,000, what's that? Well, you did the calculations there. So what does that look like? So if it's at if he pays, you know, will he pay $500? He probably will. The borrower will. So, you know, I would try to get it at a little higher rate. I mean, on that type of number, and then the discount is going to be less, or maybe, you know, that puts a little more money in it for you.
Yeah, exactly. That, I mean, that did get a taste of that, but I'll be honest with you, Joe, on the mail marketing stuff, there have been 5 loans that I've gotten phone calls on that were literally at 0% interest. And it's just like, you know, people shoot themselves in the foot on this stuff. But what I'm stepping back and looking at is if the payment itself, you know, the haircut is going to be the haircut, because there's no interest rate. There's nothing to amortize. But the payment itself has a value.
Well, it does. And you're going to count. So you're going to, and what happened on this is nothing more than, okay, so if I want to get a 14% yield, and this thing balloons in 5 years, so you've got to discount it for enough to make it work. And this is written at 7. Well, what if it was 0% for 5 years?
Well, that's no value.
Look, what would the discount? What would it be worth then? It would be worth very little.
Right.
So you've got it. You're building in the discount. So in your scenario there, your $135,000 loan that was at 1.25, and now, and you buy it for $42,000. Well, that probably gave you what, an 8% return or something like that.
Those numbers are fresh in my head.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. I mean, it's worth what it's worth, and we know how uninformed people do things on a daily business in this space, on a daily basis in this space, and that's just what it is. They, you know, $900. Okay, well, if I get $900 a month out of it, doesn't matter what the return is. I need $900 a month to as part of my retirement plan. So let me just take $900. And then all of a sudden, when they need to sell it or when they want to sell it, it's worth a whole heck of a lot less than what they thought it was worth.
Yeah.
They were strictly, the seller was strictly looking at a payment for a period of time.
Right.
So $900 a month made it about 150 month AM or something like that, right?
Oh, geez, 30.
Oh, it's
350.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, oof.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I said.
But you know, for a local guy or for a guy like Michael that's informed, I mean, the likelihood of this guy's put, if he's truly putting $200,000 into it as a cash down payment, the likelihood of him letting that go is highly unlikely. And then if you bought the I wouldn't look at buying that until, you know, I mean, Michael may want to buy it with no seasoning on it because he's an investor and he understands it. But I certainly wouldn't buy it until there was enough money, until enough of those apartments were rented to make it worthwhile. So it may be that once 80% of the units are occupied, then we would look at buying that note. But really, I mean, if a guy puts, you know, 30% down on a property, $200,000, he's probably gonna continue to make the payments on, or he's probably gonna make the payments.
Yeah.
And you know, furthermore, if you had $325,000 and $40,000 in it for the second, I mean, you've got a pretty good deal there. If it's finished, if it's not finished, that's a different story. But if it's finished, you've got yourself a nice. You've got to take it back even and put and come up with the money for the first. You would certainly be okay as well. So okay. This would look a whole lot different if there was $50,000 down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But you know, that's one of the things you want to make sure is that, especially somebody that would buy this note, was that there really was the closing statement. There really was $200,000 in cash as far as the down payment.
And in this situation, you would ask for a copy of the purchase agreement.
Oh yeah, purchase agreement and the closing statement to make sure that was actually. I would want to verify that down payment. That's the golden ticket here. If it's truly $200,000 down in cash, or was there some kind of like-kind trade? Was it $200,000 in some kind of credits? But if it's truly $200,000 in skin, then, you know, in folding money, then that makes this a whole lot better looking situation.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Very good. I hope to see you soon. Yeah, I don't know that I'm going to be able to make it to Summer Summit. I'm going to be up in Indianapolis for a day or so, and then my daughter is graduating weekend that Saturday night, so I probably won't make it, but you know, I'll get up there and hang with you and Gary before long in Cleveland. How about that?
No worries.
Okay.
Roman.
Take care.
Roman.
Take care, Roman.
Go ahead, man.
Did you get that that contact off of the board?
Michael Rowland?
Yes.
Yes.
All I see is Michael Rowland.
The one?
Oh, wait, there he is. I got it. Okay.
702-672-6642.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Very good. Thanks, Roman. Let's see. If Barb is on the phone, let's just talk to her for just a second, Roman, Matt, and you know, just see. This may be more appropriate at this point for a non-performing call, but let's just kind of talk through it for a minute if she's available to jump online.
I'm here. Am I unmuted?
Ah, yes, you are. How you doing, Barb?
Good. Hi, how are you?
Very good. So tell us about this this note that you have that's getting ready to go to foreclosure tomorrow, or the foreclosure sales for tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a little bleak. We're into it for $13,000. The current CMA on it is 18 with a quick sale of 13, and there's about 6,000 in taxes and liens due on this property right now.
Okay.
And the house is got water in the basement, standing water, and it's leaning, like the hallway inside is leaning. So it really is not a candidate to be rehabbed.
Yeah, and it's certainly, when it starts getting hot, I'm sure there's a lot of mold there as well. So,
yes, there is.
So, okay, so the sale for tomorrow is because of unpaid taxes, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So are you going to, what are you going to do? Are you going to go ahead and take care of those taxes on it, or are you just going to let it go?
We don't want to dump any more money into this because we probably won't be able to get it out in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
We're just the lien holder at this point. That was foreclosure from our point tomorrow, not from the taxes.
Oh, okay. On your point. Well, again, if you get it back, now you're going to own it and you're going to have to do something with it.
Yeah. don't really want to.
you know, if you go ahead and let the process go through and see what happens, then obviously the problem would become someone else's, and it may not be as big of a problem to someone else as it is to you.
Right.
And so, you know, we don't know what it sells for. It's got to, you know, it's whatever it sells for. You got to have enough to pay the taxes out. Well, not really. I mean, you're not even worried about that because you're just letting it go. You just don't want it back.
Right.
So, you know, you roll the dice. I mean, either way, you've got 13 in it. If it sells for, plus you've got, there's six in taxes that you need, that would have to be paid. So you've got, you know, you're up to 19 and you still have nothing. So I don't know. Have you talked to your attorney about this? I don't know what, you know, what Eddie would say or Charles would say, but, you know, you may just want to let this thing roll.
Yeah. Do you have any experience with donating a note? And can you donate something that's not going to be a hassle anymore?
You could if you have a local, if there's a local, where's this note located?
Fairborn, Ohio.
Okay. There could be a local organization that would take this and then you know, go through the process. I mean, it's vacant and nobody's going to contest. You know, the borrower is long gone, I'm sure. So there may be a local you know, investor that or local entity that would take this. Probably not somebody like, what's the organization? I've worked with them before that Jimmy Carter was a big part of.
Habitat
for Humanity. Probably not that. And you know, with what it is, if it's not habitable, but they would tear it down and you know, maybe possibly build a new house on that particular lot. So yeah, there's some things like that that you could do, and obviously you could take full value of that.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So
it came in a pool of a bunch of other notes. So you know, if it's one lost out of the bunch, it's no big deal. But
hey, and Barbara, do you see the notes there that that Jason Ortiz has said that he is in that area? And maybe you can contact Jason and he can kind of help you out with that.
Okay. How do I get his info? I don't see it.
You should look at the screen where you type in there, but I'll give it to you. Jason Ortiz, O-R-T-I-Z.
Okay.
His number is 937-361-8574.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So go ahead and call Jason when you get off the phone here and see what you guys can work out. You know, that's what I love about all of our Note School guys. I mean, everybody's just very, very willing to help. And I think that's a really cool thing, isn't it, Matt?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome.
Very good. So maybe there's an out for you. So, but go ahead and call Jason and see what you can do there. And then let us know what happens.
Great. Thank you. We'll see you next week.
Okay. Sounds good. Bye-bye. All right. So let's see. Yeah, so you answered Sarah's question there and Michael's, and on the titanium offering, I think in June it'll be the second week. We were talking about that yesterday because of Summer Summit, but yeah, I'm sure Charles is working on that because it'll be Titanium Thursday, right?
That's right. It should be out some point today. So
yeah, after 5 Central Time today. So sometime after 5, Charles is very good about that, and then it'll be available to the rest of the folks on Tuesday, right?
Yeah, I think it's a week or a week and a half, something like that, yes.
Maybe it's Thursday. Okay, so maybe it's a week in there. Okay, very good. So, man, I think that cleared the board, didn't it?
I think so. Yeah, absolutely. So
excellent. Hey, guys, good content today. Appreciate everybody being on. God, Matt, you're getting to be one of the experts here as well. So, and Matt's got a little asset. He's going to travel to, if you don't mind me sharing, to down in Georgia in a couple of weeks here to do. So Matt's buying, and we're all buying, and so we're everybody's just one big happy family. So guys, thanks so much. Eddie will be doing the call on Monday, and I will be. I'll talk to you guys next Thursday. If any of you are in the Fort Lauderdale area, I'm going to be at Broward Rhea doing a full day class on Saturday. If any of you are in the area and want to stop by and say hi. So anyway, that's it. I talk to you guys very soon. Take care. Thanks so much, Matt. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good one, Jim.
You too. Bye-bye, Neil.